It's Friday of the fifth week of Lent. It's also the Feast of Our Lady of Sorrows. Welcome to today's Lentcast. This is Father John Zulsdorf. Today the Roman station is at Santo Stefano Rotondo in Montecelio. When the relics of the proto-martyr St. Stephen, the deacon, were recovered in Jerusalem, they were brought to Rome in 415 and placed at the interesting Santo Stefano Rotondo, the ancient round basilica consecrated in the early 5th century. It is indeed round, and originally had three ambulatories, but over the centuries it was reduced to two. It is built on the remains of a military barracks, and there is also, beneath it, a shrine to the pagan god Mithras. Over the centuries, the place has suffered. It was damaged through invasion and then neglect. St. Gregory the Great preached sermons in this church. The bishop's throne he would have sat on as he preached is preserved. The whole basilica has recently been restored. Today we are 1 week from Good Friday. Today it is possible in the older form of the Roman Rite to celebrate Mass for the Feast of Our Lady of Sorrows, counterintuitively with white vestments and even a gloria. Mary, as sorrowful mother, is often depicted in art as being pierced through the heart with daggers or swords, as an echo to the prophecy made by Simeon at the time of the presentation of the Lord in the temple. He foresaw that in the passion of the Lord, Our Lady would be so much in union with her divine Son's will that she too would feel great anguish. Devotion to Our Lady of Sorrows gained special attention after St. Bridget of Sweden learned from Mary that seven graces are granted to the souls who honor her daily by saying seven Hail Marys and meditating on her tears and dolors, or sorrows. Those are the prophecy of Simeon, the flight into Egypt, the loss of Jesus in the temple. Mary meets Jesus on the way to the cross. Jesus dies on the cross. Mary receives the dead body of her son. Jesus is laid in the tomb. From the Church's Year of Grace by Pius Parsh. Just 1 week before Good Friday, the Church commemorates the unspeakable sorrow that our Blessed Mother suffered beneath the cross. It was then that Simeon's prophecy was fulfilled, "Your very soul a sword shall pierce." The feast is pervaded by overtones of tenderest mysticism on Christ's sacred passion. At times, Mary is portrayed as a bride who lost her beloved. In other passages, she foreshadows the Christian soul that loves Christ and sympathizes deeply with him in his sufferings. The Mass has a famous sequence, the Stabat Mater, certainly one of the finest religious poems from the Middle Ages. On some counts, the formulary departs wholly from the traditional liturgical forms. The breviary hymns are taken from the sequence. To compare the somewhat austere ferial liturgy with the highly emotional festal Mass would be very instructive for anyone who desires to penetrate more deeply into the spirit of the Church's liturgy. The Passiontide Mass presents the suffering Christ in prophecy, Psalms, in figure, Jeremiah's, and in history, the gospel and decision to put him to death. Jesus himself speaks, or the events are described objectively. Our emotions are not brought into play. Very different is the spirit characterizing the Feast of the Seven Sorrows. Here sentiment and emotion is strong. We see Christ's agony through the heart of his mother. She is our guide. She teaches us how to suffer and sympathize with her son. Where the ancient liturgy stops, the newer form begins. The old gives theology and history. The new stimulates our hearts and feelings. Thus, one complements the other. Thank you for listening. I'll be back tomorrow, God willing, with another Lentcast. In the meantime, please pray for me as I will for you.